This morning's second public reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 1. As you turn there, last week we saw that David was basically waiting for news about how things were going with the war. And we find out that Saul, David's bitter enemy, and Jonathan, David's most beloved friend, were killed on the battleground, on the battlefield. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And this one individual, this Amalekite, thought that maybe he was going to get a feather in his cap. I think he got more than that. But he goes back and he has an artifact that belongs to the king. And he says, here, he's dead. Your enemy's gone. And David just rises up in holy indignation. And even though Saul was his avowed enemy, he said, nonetheless, he is God's anointed. And you had the audacity to touch your paws on him? Well, that person checked out early. He was killed for his attack on Saul. So we're going to pick up now at verse 17, following that event. I'm going to read verses 17 to the end. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter 1, 17 to 27, God's Word. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Jasher is like the book of Enoch. These are two extra biblical writings. Jude, in his letter in the back of the New Testament, references the book of Enoch. They're not canonical. Okay, they were written outside of apostolic era. They're not canonical. They're not on the same par with Scripture. Yet a lot of people read these books because of the history that is there. For instance, 2 Maccabees is found in the Roman Catholic Bible. Why does the Catholic Church have 2 Maccabees in their Bible? Because the teaching of purgatory is found there. So they justify purgatory that way. The beauty of Israel was slain upon high places. How are the mighty fallen? This is David's lament. He's singing in this sorrowful song. Tell it not in Gath. That's the Philistines. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. That's the Philistines. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he has not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned it not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely. Now this is David eulogizing the man that wanted him dead. And pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They are stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with scarlet and with delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Now let's be honest. Look at that verse 26. With all the wokeism in the last administration and how some of it has been put off to the side, unfortunately wokeism still remains in our public school system. And in some of the blue states, you still have that ridiculous rainbow flag crosswalk. But in verse 26, the other side uses this to justify same-sex relationship. It says here, David says, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. So automatically, the 21st century mindset, their hermeneutics takes the 21st century mindset of where now there's no distinction between male and female in the eyes of most. And they look at that verse and they say, see, David and Jonathan were homosexuals. So why do you get upset with me, church? they had a very romantic, intimate relationship. So I'm a pastor that's not afraid to tackle controversy. I love controversy sometimes. Every so often you gotta kick that record player so the needle jumps. Okay? This is not advocating homosexual behavior. Okay? Their relationship was such. To me, they were more bonded as than just two brothers. You know, sometimes brothers and sisters can have scraps and they can get angry. Sometimes they can say mean things. Sometimes they can get jealous and envious. But David and Jonathan, they were knit together in a relationship, beloved, I think that most men today don't even have. How many men would have another relationship with another gentleman that's not perverted, but is just attached? Someone that you can call, you can pick up the phone, and they're there for you. I believe this aspect of manhood, masculinity, has basically been neutered by the feminist movement. Feminism was basically brought into play to castrate men, not physically, but emotionally and internally. The Bible teaches masculinity. That doesn't mean if he beats his wife or beats his daughter, but he's to be firm and loving and gentle, but at the same time, he's to be that defender of not only his home, his life, but if he's a Christian, a defender of the faith. Doesn't mean that he's a sissy. It doesn't mean that he's a little patsy. Jesus was masculine. He went into the temple on at least two occasions, and he brought a lot of mayhem to that place because of the shenanigans that was going on. That's masculinity in action when it was needed. So again, verse 26, put it off to the side. They were not homosexual, but they had a relationship, beloved, that two men today, I think, would have a hard time, I think, cultivating. Maybe it's still out there. I don't know. So here's David, verse 17. David is lamenting. He is lamenting. You find that word quite often. Matter of fact, in the book of Amos that we put on the back burner, we just broke into chapter 6. But there, Amos laments over the state of Israel. It's in a very sad situation. Even though the nation is prosperous, you got rich people taking advantage of the homeless, the widow, and the orphan. Hey, they got it made. They're exploiting these people. They're even selling these people for a pair of shoes. And Amos laments. Jesus even lamented over the city of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings? But you would not. You refused. Paul the Apostle, when he's chiding the church there in Corinth for the misuses of all the gifts that God has given them, even being a drunk at the Lord's table, he weeps for them. He weeps for them. And beloved, guess what? There's times and seasons that you and I need to weep for the state of our churches, the state of our country, the state of those whom God has placed over us to be our leaders. We're told in Timothy to pray for the king. And when Paul wrote that to Timothy, guess who was on the throne? Madman Nero. Paul was telling the saints to pray for that beast that was on that throne. So he laments. And then we have that verses 19. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? All of us have been to funerals. Shortly after being pastor of this church, I ended up conducting my first two funerals. I even conducted my first wedding, all within a short amount of time. My first baptism, all in a very short amount of time. And so I've stood over caskets and such, but I refuse to eulogize anyone into heaven. Have you noticed you go to every funeral and everybody's getting to heaven? Really? My Bible says the gate to heaven is narrow and few there be that find it, and the road that leads to eternal destruction is very broad and spacious and will accommodate all kind of lies to self-destruction. So I'm not into one to eulogize people into heaven. So, beloved, can I encourage you as God's people? If you have a friend, if you have a brother or a sister that is very special for you, that you can trust, one who sticks closer than a brother, like in this case, someone that you can confide in, someone that you can pray with and know that your confidence is not on the newspaper tomorrow morning. Beloved, if you have such a partner as that, value that as truly a gift of God. But the greatest of all partners, the greatest of all brothers any one of you can have is the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly sticks closer than any human brother. So may God choose to bless his word.